Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
What is going on, everybody? My name is Cutter Lawler. Welcome back to a brand new year and a brand new episode of the Movie Mondays Heroes for Hire podcast. Nice. I am joined, as always, by my partner in crime, Mr. Sean Mead. Sean, how's it going? It's my first intro of the year. I feel it's gone poorly.
No, look, it can only go up. What you do, you start like middling, and then by next December, it's going to be class.
But what I will say straight off the bat, if anyone can't tell, I am one of the 7 billion people in the world currently sick. So I do sound like Phoebe from Friends. I'm hoping it gives my voice a bit more razzmatazz, a bit more gravitas when I'm giving out awards this week.
That's true, but now you're going to have to maintain this for the rest of the year. I hope you know that.
I'm going to go with Barry White for the rest of the year.
Yeah, like... I'm not even running him through a filter or anything, listeners. He's just going to be that deep normally.
No, I want you to run me through the filter that they use for, like, when they're trying to hide someone's identity for every episode.
It's like you're in an IRA video in the early 90s.
That's what I want for every episode. They're like, who is that guy?
He's some man of mystery, but he introduces himself every time.
So this is the Heroes for Hire podcast, and this is Movie Monday. So we normally talk all the week's movie news, entertainment news, and we generally just have a chit-chat about everything to do with film.
Good, nice.
Thanks. But this week is slightly different. Now, we took last week off because, I mean, it's that time of year. We took a week off. We apologise.
We're so sorry.
Get
you still
off
have
our
three
back.
Episodes a week for
fuck
the rest
me.
Of time.
Jesus, fuck off, I say. No, sorry.
It's fine, I'll cut that out. It's fine. We need to vent every so often.
No, so we took last week off. And so then this week, we thought, because we kind of missed the end of the year, this was going to be our award ceremony for 2022. All the best and worst movies of the year, and then maybe things that we're looking forward to coming up in this year. This week is going to be a bit of a... It's going to be a bit of a strange week, because Wednesday is our top 10 weird news stories of the year.
Yes,
episode.
Who's editing that, by the way?
I'm pretty positive it's you.
No, I think we said it was you this year, actually.
So what it is everyone threw in their votes. Thank you very much for everyone who voted, by the way. And we have a top 10 of everyone's favourite top 10 weird news stories of the year. We're going to have a big countdown episode. Normally goes on for like 3 hours because it's just the clips from the previous episodes put all together. Yes.
And look, they vary in length. One of them, I'll tell you for a fact, one clip is half an hour long.
And one of them is, by the way, 2 half-an-hour-long clips.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus.
Part one, part two job.
Of course. We need the full story in the wrap-up.
Of course. So that is coming up this week. And then Hero Zero, just our regular Hero Zero. But yeah. Sean, it's a bit of a strange week. I want to leave Best Movie of the Year to last, perhaps.
That's fair. Let's leave the positive stuff to last.
So we have a few categories that I kind of want to touch on. Now, I did send them on to you, Sean. So if there's any category specifically you need to vent about, because we got free reign here. It's not a movie news week. We can do whatever we want. Fuck the people. That's what I say, Sean. Go on.
Right. Okay. And just throw that to me. Start of the episode. Let's do it. So one of the categories that you sent on, which I think perfectly sums up, I would say, most of the movies this year. I think there's been more bad movies than good. Biggest disappointment of 2022.
Okay. So what I have is, I obviously threw all the categories together. For some of the categories, I've got like a whole bunch of movies, just because I'm like, okay, we might be able to pick and choose. For this one, there was only really one big winner for me.
Did we pick the same one, do you think?
Because mine starts with a four-letter word called Thor.
Yes, and mine ends with Love and Thunder.
It does. So our biggest disappointment of the year is Thor, Love and Thunder. I also have Doctor Strange in this.
That fits into another category altogether.
It was Doctor Strange this year. It was.
Doctor Strange was this year. It was April. And then I think Thor was like June or July.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that movie is like, I feel like I expected more. So that's, disappointment is different from bad, I would say.
Yes, disappointment. But like, okay, look, for what it's worth, I also think Thor Love and Thunder is a bad movie. But I had such high hopes for it.
We're Taika boys.
I don't think I'm a Taika boy anymore, I will say. I think I've been burned. I've been burned too many times. I watched Jojo Rabbit over Christmas. It's still really good. But I don't know if I want any more Taika.
Never has a movie come out that we were so staunchly on one side, and the movie was so just... I can't even put it into words.
Thinks I'm an idiot.
Yeah, that I'm just like, I don't want any more of this thing I really liked before going to see this movie.
I love Thor Ragnarok.
Oh, it's amazing.
That, I think, is why this is such a big disappointment, because Thor films had always been like the butt of the joke, like the not great Marvel films. The Dark World. It was like, there has to be a bottom one, and that was always it. But then Ragnarok came out, and it was like, oh, Thor can be cool and funny and just genuinely like a good, entertaining movie.
And leading on from Ragnarok, you have the scene in Infinity War and Endgame. Like Infinity War, when Thor shows up and starts fucking some shit up. Like, that's the best scene in the movie.
Thor, this is another point, but like Thor in the MCU, he's at his best in Infinity War. That's my favourite version of Thor that we've ever seen.
When he's talking like all the things he's lost, but he's trying to stay upbeat on the ship.
Yeah. Or when he's just like, you made that word up. All words are made up. Like, he's not, even in Endgame, he is the butt of the joke in that film.
But at the same time, Endgame, he's the butt of the joke, but also at the start, he's still Infinity War Thor in that he went for the head.
This is true, yeah. And then that scene with his mother in Asgard, I will love that scene forever. Amazing. That's excellent. But then the fucking heel turn that happens within Love and Thunder, where he's, I don't know what he is. He's just...
I think he's fallen down a flight of stairs.
Genuinely, he just has no emotional connection, really. I know there's emotion in the movie, but it's really like there's no chemistry between those two at all.
I mean, as a man who suffered a few concussions, that man has a concussion, is what I'm saying. He's got no emotional depth. He's just like, his body's there, but his brain ain't worried.
Yeah, there's a video essay on YouTube that I watched, and it's called The Himbofication of Thor. And it's just like, Love and Thunder is when he's his most just like dumb, golden retriever fucking idiot of a person.
Do you know who he is? He's, you know, the latest, or not the latest Ghostbusters, Jesus, the Ghostbusters from like 2016?
Yeah.
You don't know, he's like the secretary, or he's like...
Yes.
He's that, but in tour form.
Yeah, which doesn't work when he's had interactions.
No, he's also had like seven movies of like growth to get to that point.
Yeah, and not getting away from the character of Thor, they fucked up gore in that movie. And like, I it was a while ago, I might have to do it again at some point, but Gore the God Butcher, we did a Hero or Zero on, and he is one of the most hardcore villains that has ever been in comics.
It's genuinely like they put the most hardcore villain in a movie with a golden retriever and then tried to mesh them together. Which doesn't work. Now, and it's not a case that, like, Christian Bale is fucking bringing it as Gore. And I think probably, there's probably bigger disappointments, or obviously for all of these lists, it's movies we've seen. So we are dumb. We haven't seen every movie in the whole world. I have not seen The Fabelmans. I heard it's quite good. Okay.
I've also heard it's quite good for what it's worth, but I can't speak.
Spielberg, he knows what he's doing, apparently. So, I mean, we can't judge it off that. The disappointment for us with Thor, Love and Thunder is because we're in that world a lot. And we kind of talk about comic book stuff on a weekly basis. And it was only from Ragnarok that I was like so hyped going into it. And I was like, this can't fail. This is the biggest movie of the year. It's Taika and it's Chris Hemsworth again. It's going to be
surely
great.
Surely they can't fumble this bag. Like
and,
go
and
back.
Christian Bale as Gore.
If you go back and listen to when the trailer came out for Thor Love and Thunder, listen to how excited we were in that episode. And then listen to the review.
It's just literally fumbling the bag so large. I don't know how it's done. Like, you have Gore, let's never show him kill any gods. Let's just have a bunch of really odd, funny jokes throughout it. The plot is not great. Gore's whole plan is that he's saying gods don't care about humans. So his plan is he kidnaps a bunch of kids, knowing that the god in question is going to care about the humans enough to turn up to save them, ultimately disproving his point that gods don't care about humans. It's really weird.
There's no focus. It's like that film is like the... It's like ADHD personified. So there's no focus on any little thing whatsoever. But then there's a lot of focus on really dumb stuff, like the goats and shit.
Yeah.
And Thor being in a relationship with his hammer / axe.
I know the goats got a lot of shit when it came out. To be honest, the goats, I don't really care about. I think that joke works in a better movie. I think people are obviously going to land on that because the movie was also bad around it. There's like, the goats are so terrible.
I think it sums up most of the problems, though. It's just he focuses really hard on this one goat joke.
The whole scene with the gods and Russell Crowe and that is terrible. That whole scene.
And, like, you could save the movie somewhat if, in that scene, Korg dies and stays there, and then there's this massive tonal shift for the rest of the movie.
Yes, perfect. Just do something. And then he's just ahead, and it's just, he's fine. And oh man.
Yeah, and he gets a partner called Dwayne at the end, because Dwayne the Rock, you know? Yeah. It's just so, like, the most base level of humor and creativity.
And I do think, like, Natalie Portman and Chris Hemsworth are two very talented people.
Yeah.
I think they have literally no chemistry whatsoever. To be honest with you, in the previous movies, I think they also had very little chemistry.
I think in the first one, there was something kind of charming about it. And also, they were just getting to know each other. So it kind of worked that way. But, like, I don't buy that either of them like each other or really like this film that they're
in. Or that this Thor likes... like the Thor for that we've seen go through all of those things.
Yeah.
Maybe Thor when he first came to Earth. But, like, I think he would react different. Obviously, these are all fictional characters. Who gives a fuck, right? We're all just making this up in our heads. But for me personally, I would say he probably would react differently than how he did. Like,
putting
on
a big
God.
Helmet trying to look cool. Like, Infinity War Thor meets Jane Foster again. That is a heartbreaking scene, if it's written correctly.
Yeah.
You know? Not, oh, here's this blue and gold armor because you have my armor and you have my hammer kind of a deal.
Yeah. So are we giving biggest disappointment of the year to Thor Love and Thunder? That's locked in.
I think that's locked in. I think
we could talk about that for like another hour.
But honestly, we could keep going, but there is many other categories to get to.
So my next one that I wanted to get to was most grand movie of the year. Now, anyone who listens to the show knows as Irish people, we use the word grand. I'm grand, it's grand, the whole thing is grand. Grand is... it's passable, it's fine, your life isn't changed, but it's not terrible.
Yeah, it's not actively bad, but it's not actively great either.
Most I have
movies,
a few nominations.
I would say, fall into this category.
Yeah, a lot of movies that come out every single year are all grand.
Yeah. Yeah, what are your nominations, your ideas?
So I have a few. I've got Death on the Nile.
Right.
I've got Spiderhead, another Chris Hemsworth take on Netflix. Uncharted.
I had Uncharted on my list.
Black
as well.
Adam.
Yeah.
Lightyear.
Hadn't seen Lightyear, but yeah, I've heard it's not.
Or Don't Worry, Darling.
Oh, I think. See, Don't Worry, Darling, I think made us hear about it so much that I feel it doesn't even deserve to be grand. I would also throw Doctor Strange into the grandest movie of the year.
I can see it. I put it under disappointment, but I can see it under grand.
I think there's stuff to like, there's stuff to not like. Ultimately, I think it's not a great movie. But
where do you stand on Black Adam being grand? Or I'm kind of coming in on Uncharted as the most grand.
Look, I'm going to spoil. So I think Uncharted is the most grand movie of the year. Cause fine, whatever. No, but if we can talk about Black Adam for a second, because we don't get to talk about this because we're not doing news. But...
yeah,
the way that movie fucked everything is hilarious to me.
Please elaborate.
Spoilers, I guess, if you care about Black Adam, but it doesn't matter anymore because they brought Henry Cavill back as Superman. They use that in the marketing. Henry Cavill gave up The Witcher to go back and do Superman.
Yeah. He released a post saying, I'm back.
Video on Facebook thanking everyone. Yeah. About 3 weeks later. Because James Gunn been doing some work in DC.
But you see, Peter Safran and James Gunn, who are now head of DC, they weren't there when Black Adam was being finalised. They only came in late last year.
Also, so, maybe The Rock is lying about box office results as well. That's the whole thing.
It's been weird watching The Rock, I swear. Just being like, we're very big in the 18 to 19 demographic in Saudi Arabia. We're pretty big in that. Well, the biggest movie of all time in, this small town in Belarus.
Polite golf clap for The Rock, I guess.
But, like, I guess. I suppose that's good.
And so, yeah, James Gunn and Peter Safran are making big changes at DC. Rumours came out that, like, Wonder Woman 3 might not be happening. Bunch of stuff is cancelled. Looks like most of the existing DC universe is now out the window. Which means Henry Cavill is now out as Superman after giving up The Witcher. Liam Hemsworth, I assume, was just like so glad that he signed that contract when he did.
Yeah, he got locked in early.
Yeah, but now, and this is the real meat and potatoes of it, Henry Cavill is doing a Warhammer TV series. I fucking told you.
So maybe that's actually a good thing. Maybe Black Adam didn't fuck anything up. It set the universe right.
That is why I'm giving biggest hero of the year to Dwayne Johnson.
I really wanted him to do a post, like something like, we are the biggest movie ever released in Galway in Ireland. Not Ireland, Galway.
Specifically Galway City.
This one street in Galway, we are the biggest movie ever released there. I'm like, yeah, fucking put it out, Dwayne. Gloat.
But I think in terms of actual, getting back onto most grand, I think it's Uncharted. Like, there's nothing special about that movie at all.
No, you've got Tom Holland, you've got Mark Wahlberg, they're trying to launch a franchise. It's based off a video game, so it has like an inbuilt audience, but I wouldn't say it's excellent, and I wouldn't say it's outright terrible. I would just say, it happened, I seen it, and after I came out, I went, I'll probably forget that I seen that next week if someone says something about the movie.
It feels like something that like would be playing on a TV in the store when you're going to buy a TV. It's one of those movies. Does that make sense to anyone else?
That's the worst insult you can give a movie. Seems maybe. Like the type of movie that, you know, they'd play for free on all the fucking Samsung TVs in the store.
I mean, tell me I'm wrong, though. Like,
no, you're not. They would play that. Yeah. And they'd play the scene at the end with the fucking big pirate ships floating in the sky.
Yeah. Yeah, they would.
Yeah, they would.
There used to be a store near me, and this is back when, remember TVs used to get like the image burned into them if it was on it too long?
Oh, like, yeah.
So there's a bunch of like
waiting
room.
This is the 60s, by the way.
This is back in when they invented television.
Yeah. Oh, the old talkies, we called it. Go
shut
on.
Shut up. So, so there was a TV, and it just had Elijah Wood's face from Lord of the Rings burned into it because it had been left just looping a scene of that for so long that you just couldn't get rid of his face.
And you have that TV
I
now.
Bought it, and it's in my house to this day.
Big Elijah's always on screen in here. I also have Death on the Nile, which, I mean, is fine.
It's no Benoit Blanc murder mystery, I would say.
Yeah, yeah. If Dead on the Nile and Glass Onion, they've come out both in the same year, and there's a massive difference, is what
there
I would
is.
Say.
Have you, what did you think of Glass Onion, actually?
We're probably going to come to it later on.
Right, okay.
I mean, not as good as the first one.
Fair.
But the first one, I think, is one of the best movies of the last, like, 20
decade.
Years.
Yeah, no, so, it's outstanding, the first one.
So it's hard
one,
to follow
good.
That up. Love the cast. Cast is great. Benoit, he's just a fucking, he's a divil. He's a goblin mode kind of guy.
He's a lot more silly in this new one, I will
he
say.
He is a lot more silly, but I think he pulls it off.
I think so.
I think he's just a goose, and I'm happy to watch that goose go around solving crimes.
I think he's having fun with it, and that's the main thing.
I just want Daniel Craig to have fun with things.
He's earned it, really, hasn't he?
Yeah. I really love that world, and the more it keeps coming out, everyone's just like, put him in a Muppets movie. Benoit Blanc, just in a Muppets movie.
Please. Like, get like a Murder, She Wrote script.
Yeah.
Put the Muppets in there and put in Benoit Blanc instead
and
of
just imagine the dialogue. Imagine him just giving out his speeches just to all the Muppets.
My favourite thing on Twitter is just people tweeting like Benoit Blanc. It's hilarious to me.
Yeah. So most grand movie of the year we are officially giving to Uncharted, which I can only assume you forgot came out this year. Yes, you listening to this forgot that movie came out, which is why it's grand.
Yeah, you thought that was a Prime original that came out during the pandemic, didn't you? No.
Biggest hero of the year, Sean. So we do a hero and then we do a zero. Now, unfortunately, the biggest zero of the year is almost always Jared Leto.
But this year more than any, because...
More than any, because he actually has qualified this year, because he's also a bad bloke as well.
Bad bloke also made Morbius.
Biggest hero of the year, I've got Daniel Craig, who's having fun with it.
Fair.
And I've got one from left field, Sean. Angela Bassett, who fucking kills it in Black Panther.
That is fair. That is fair. Probably the best performance in a Marvel movie to date, I would say.
Do you have anybody, maybe not in movie form, maybe just in general life, just being nice?
Oh, well, Brendan Fraser has just been pretty nice in interviews and stuff recently.
Really nice.
A really nice man.
See the one with him and Sandler?
Oh, it's so good.
So good.
And on this, and like, they're all still tenuously related to movies, but like, also Colin Farrell and Jamie Lee Curtis in that one Variety interview that they did.
No, I'm giving it to Colin Farrell. Did the Colin Farrell Hot Wings episode also come out this year?
That was it.
Colin Farrell's my hero of the year. That man's a legend. What's weird, as an Irish person, we're just like, Colin Farrell, we just know him as the movie star. But it was the first time this year I think I actually watched any of his interviews, like from the last year or two, and I'm like, this guy is the best.
He's just a cool, nice man. And like, he's
a man who's clearly lived the greatest life of all time, and now is in his 40s and is just like, I'm just chill, I don't drink or do anything anymore.
He was wild for a few years there, to be fair to him.
He's just happy to be alive. He's just looking after his kids.
Yeah, he just wants to be like, no, I just want to quiet, like, I'm going to do some acting and then I'm going to go home. Like, that's what I want to do.
No, I'm picking Colin Angela Bassett, best performance, but I'm giving it to Colin Farrell for best hero. Well, who's your biggest hero of the year, Sean?
Well, I think it's, I had Colin Farrell and Brendan Fraser on my
Fraser's
list.
Fraser's pretty good.
Fraser, because, and also like, the Whale looks really fucking good. when that comes out in Ireland eventually.
In 2027, we'll see.
Yeah, whenever they decide that we're ready for it, what can I say? But I think I want to give it to Colin Farrell.
Just because he's so nice. Like, people might accuse us of biasness if we're giving it to Colin Farrell. But guys, he never won at it before. This is the first year.
First year. He was the Penguin in Batman. It was fucking great. Great performance.
And Michael B. Jordan wins it every other year. Or Barry could have won it. Now, we could give it to Barry.
It's true. That is true. We could give it to Barry.
But what worked against Barry is because he's the Joker. And that worked against him.
See, yeah, that is, in your book, he's dead to you now. You don't like Barry anymore.
No, I wouldn't say dead to me. I would say I'll never speak of him again. Not dead to me.
Right, that's...
I wish a vendetta upon him and his family.
Oh, but you wish that on me every Christmas, so here we are.
So we'll give a biggest hero of the year to Mr. Colin Farrell. If you haven't seen the Hot Wings episode that he did, go watch that. Yeah. What a very nice man. And
if you wanted, like, outside of... should we give one to people who did stuff outside of movies, or are we just locked in on movies?
Yeah, go for it. What do you want?
I don't know. Marcus Rashford, he fed a bunch of kids at one point, didn't he?
Greta did something cool this week.
Greta, actually, give it to Greta.
Give it to Greta.
Greta fucking taken down.
What a legend.
We can't say his name because we're summoning people. But
randomly, have you seen her interview on Russell Howard's news? She's really nice.
Comes across really well.
just like when people are nice.
You know what would be a really good interview? Greta and Colin. Just together.
You know
chatting.
What? They'd just be having a laugh.
They'd get on
you know
like that? A house on fire. It'd be class.
Biggest zero of the year, are we giving it to Jared Leto?
I think we have to give it to Jared Leto simply because of the way he acts and behaves in life and the movies he picks.
The way he's acted and behaved in the rest of his life that's led him to here, and ultimately we don't like him in general.
Yes, and the fact that he knowingly made Morbius and allowed it to be released in that state. The advertising campaign for Morbius, the re-release of Morbius that everyone tricked them into. I think it's Jared.
Yeah, Jared. And then he released a Twitter post where he was like trying to buy into like it's Morbid time. I think he said it. And I was like, Jared, no.
No, you're not part of this. And then the Minions thing happened and it was like, how?
You are not, you are outside this.
Yeah.
If you become inside, it's no longer funny.
Look, and Connor, as a man, you're a man who owns a Jared life-size cutout, correct?
How does
this impact? How does this zero rating impact your enjoyment of that cardboard cutout?
Do you want to let everyone know why I have a cardboard cutout of Jared?
Well, Connor had a birthday one time, this year, I believe, and
every year
sent him a life-size cutout of Jared Leto.
Now, as a man, Sean, who has the birthday celebration pack of Morbius, how does this impact you, this zero rating?
Well, it's certainly taken the helium out of my balloon, let me tell you.
Anyone doesn't know, I bought Sean for Christmas this year to follow up his Jared Leto Joker cardboard cutout. I got him a party pack of Morbius stuff, and it's like fucking packed with Morbius party pack.
You got bunting, you got cake toppers, you got balloons, folks. I don't know what else you need.
You got Jared everywhere. You could have the world's worst birthday party.
Who is that for, is my main question. Because it's not for kids. And then it's not for like adults, because they wouldn't like that
film,
surely.
If you have a kid and they're like 7 and they're like, I would love a Morbius themed birthday party, put them up for adoption.
Get rid of them.
Just get a new one, because they have clearly been broken. They're just too far gone at that stage.
It's adopting time.
Oh, it's adopting. They said I couldn't bring that phrase into the orphanage. I said I'm bringing it in. Sean, we're moving on to pretty big status here. Worst movie of 2022.
Very interesting. Very interesting topic.
Very strong contenders. 3 movies I'm going to throw at you. And sorry, you give your nominations first that you have, and then I'll give you my 3 nominations that I finalised.
Well, you see, I had Moonfall, of course, as a famously bad movie. I also had the movie Morbius. Which I think is also a bad movie. And then a movie I haven't seen, but I feel it probably deserves it for what it did to a franchise, which is Fantastic Beasts, The Secrets of Dumbledore, Connor.
That's a really good one. I also had Minions, The Rise of Gru.
In terms of memes that happened on the internet, I think we can't call that the worst movie of the year.
So, okay, we will replace Minions with your Fantastic Beasts. So the nominees are Moonfall, yes. Morbius, Fantastic Beasts.
Classics.
Pretty strong. That's a very strong trio. Where would you like to go with this?
I mean, see, the thing about it is, Moonfall is a bad movie. But I expected it to be that bad.
Well, Moonfall is the best movie of the year. I don't know what you're saying. if anyone hasn't seen Moonfall, Sean, it was probably our most anticipated movie of 2022.
It was.
Yeah.
Because it's the one we talked most about going to see.
The story goes back to all the way to summer 2021 when I randomly, on a Movie Mondays research mission, came across the trailer to a certain movie called Moonfall with Halle Berry in it and Patrick Wilson and Samwell Tarly from Game of Thrones. And the plot is, it's Roland Emmerich, the man who brought you Independence Day. Independence Day 2.
The Day After Tomorrow, was that
The Day After Tomorrow, that's Roland.
2012?
2012 is Roland. He just loves destroying shit.
Disaster movie.
And everyone knows that's the hottest genre at the minute in movies. And so this time the plot is the moon falls. That's right.
Out of space. Into the earth.
Falls from space.
And
their plan is they have to stop it.
They have to stop the moon. But the moon, and look, this might be a spoiler, but there's an enemy on the moon. The moon's hollow, right? The moon's hollow.
Yeah.
Moon's basically a big arc, and there were proto-humans that lived there.
Yeah.
And then AI killed them, because AI is the bad guy. Patrick Wilson, he pilots a space shuttle back to Earth without any electricity.
I think we've talked about every scene in that movie throughout the year, but in spaces throughout each random episode that you can put together the plot. But some of my favourite scenes from Moonfall, just naming them a few. Patrick Wilson, the start, he's the world's greatest astronaut.
Yeah.
He tries to land on the moon. The moon, because it has aliens inside it, cuts all the electricity, so nothing works in the ship. He then successfully lands the ship, free falling from space into the Earth's atmosphere, landing in the ocean, saving everyone on board. It's a miracle. It's literally the greatest feat of flying anyone's ever done.
Yeah. And then
the next scene is the government saying, "You're a fucking prick.
You're the worst you astronaut. You're a disgrace to the uniform. Get out of here."
And that's true. And that's the plot. Everyone's like, they don't believe him that apparently the electricity went. And he was like, but then he's like, well, why would I lie? Because you fucking would. You have a look about you.
And then they fly into space. And then he does it again. Does it again. And then Samwell Tarly becomes a god at the end.
He mentions Elon Musk one too many times in that movie.
Now, look, this was pre-Elon going full megalomaniacal.
But
he still mentions him far too much for comfort. Also, there's a scene where a hotel is flooding. And they're downstairs.
No, not just the hotel. Let's not lie to the people, Sean. The whole city of Los Angeles.
It's true. That is true.
Because the moon, I don't know if anyone knows, has fallen.
Controls the tides.
The tides are all over the fucking place. And all of the ocean floods America. And Los Angeles is completely underwater up to like the highest skyscrapers. Samwell Tarly and Patrick Wilson are in that hotel.
Yeah.
And they're like on the 50th floor up. All the water's up to like the 47th floor.
And Samwell Tarly can't swim as well. Let's just get that out of the way.
They look outside and then they go, "We better have a sleep."
The next scene is them waking up wearing dressing gowns in a hotel room. It makes no goddamn sense.
Everyone's dead outside.
There's a scene, there's a scene where the moon scrapes the top of the Rocky Mountains.
And everyone's fine.
They win at the end. I don't know how this happens.
No, then the bit that's the best, we could talk about this movie all the time. The bit that's the best is the one when there's like all the oxygen is running out.
Yeah. And, Michael Pena gets fucking
Michael
done.
Pena's there with his daughter, and the daughter's like, they're sharing an oxygen mask, and the daughter, she starts coughing because there's no oxygen. Because I don't know if you notice, I cannot stress enough, the moon has fallen. It's clipped the Rocky Mountains at this stage. To be honest, nobody's still alive. Everyone should be dead.
And the oxygen is turning on and off, which isn't on how and that off. Works at all.
And so what he does is, heroically, he gives up his oxygen mask, gives it to his daughter, who's like 7, and is like, go on without me. Go to your mother, who I assume is not in a safe place, because all of Earth is pretty fucked.
There's no safe place at the minute. They're in the Rocky Mountains.
And so the daughter runs ahead, and it's, you can see it. She runs, I would say, maybe 40 yards. Maybe.
Like within eyesight, like.
Michael Pena immediately collapses, dead, no oxygen. The daughter somehow gets to safety 40 yards away and doesn't think maybe someone should run back out for dad.
With this oxygen mask that I no longer need, but he could probably use it.
They're all like, well, he's dead. Let's all wave at him.
Also, this year, in terms of movies about the moon being the villain, there was another one called Moon Crash.
What?
Which is where a drilling company is drilling on the moon and they break off a piece of the moon and that starts to fall into Earth and they have to destroy the piece of the moon.
I'll tell you something, that's a much more logical plot.
It makes way more sense, doesn't
it?
But that has 1 star, Connor, on IMDb.
And Moonfall, I can only assume, has 5.
Well, I'll tell you. Exactly.
I actually probably need to make more stars because it's set in space.
So you need to make more stars
for Moonfall, yeah.
Absolutely. That Moonfall, 5 out of 10. 2.5 stars, we'll call it.
What? Who's rating that 5 out of 10? Should be 10 out of 10. What the hell?
Budget of $146
million. That is so much money for a movie that terrible.
Made $67.3 million.
Wasn't there the deal that it made like $100,000 on like its opening weekend?
Yeah. I think it came out the same time as something else as well. But
I think it came out the same time as The Batman.
Might have cut into a bit of the box office there.
That's the thing. So, look, Morbius is also there. Morbius is terrible. Fantastic Beasts, also terrible. I think Moonfall is so spectacularly terrible that I think I want to give it to that. But I also love that movie.
It has a weird place in my heart, but I also think it has a place in my heart because it's the worst movie.
I actually think it might be the worst movie I've ever seen, other than Wild Mountain Time.
I mean, we have watched Power Rangers Turbo as well, though.
No, those two movies are worse.
Really?
Because Power Rangers Turbo knows what it is. I think it knows its shit. And it never promises to be anything else. Those movies have Emily Blunt. And it's got Jamie Dornan. And Moonfall's got Halle Berry. She's got an Oscar. And
you know what, actually? That's a fair point. That is a fair point. That everyone involved in the other two should know better.
They should all know. Everyone involved in those movies are really talented. And they have Oscar nominations. A lot of them. And then Power Rangers Turbo, I can only assume, doesn't have any Oscar nominations.
I'm not willing to check, but I think you're right, I'll be honest.
I assume so. So our worst movie of the year?
Moonfall.
We're going to give it to Moonfall. You can take that to the bank. We could do best movie of the year, or we could just do best box office. It's not really an award, but
Best box office? What's that?
Our biggest box office, if you'd like to know what movie made the most money this year. Maybe that'll help us make our idea of what the best movie is. Because the people can't be wrong, Sean. Everyone knows that.
People vote with their wallets. That's what they say. Is it Avatar?
So this list has been done before, like last week.
Right.
So what I will say is, if you can name the top, I have 8 of them here. If you can name, Avatar is number 5 currently.
Okay, that's actually impressive. Also, that's made a shit ton of money. No one has told me if it's any good or not yet.
Yeah, I haven't seen either. Nobody can tell me one way or the other. I've heard very, very good and also very bad.
I love it. What came out this year? Spider-Man? Is Spider-Man 2022?
Spider-Man is not 2022. It was Christmas 2021.
Is it The Batman? Was that up there?
The Batman is seventh with $770 million worldwide.
Fuck. Avatar is five. Top Gun?
Top Gun, number one with a bullet. $1.5 billion.
What? I mean, yes. Yeah, I guess. That movie was massive over the summer, wasn't it?
Okay, so you got two of the eight. Can you name any other ones? The top two are really weird.
The top two, like,
so Top Gun is number one, and number two
Thor?
Is another. Thor is, hang on, Thor is number eight, just in there, $760 million.
Black Panther.
Black Panther, 790. So that's number six. So you've got you've got 8, 7, 6, 5.
Right. So I've got everything you haven't asked for.
You're missing 4, 3, and 2. You got three more guesses, and then you're out, and then we're going to kick you off the show.
How much did Elvis make? I don't know.
I mean, that is a ridiculous guess. No. You got two left.
Do I have to? I don't.
Talked about one of them.
What movies did we talk about?
Biggest disappointment.
Doctor Strange,
number three. Thank you.
Okay.
The other two, you're not going to get. Number four, Minions: Rise of Gru made $940 million.
Nearly broke a billion.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Minions.
The Batman only made $750.
So, better movie, by your logic.
Better movie. And then number two, Jurassic World Dominion made $1 billion.
Did anyone see that, though?
I don't know anyone who's seen that movie, but apparently it made $1 billion.
Whoa, that might be a China release. No, they do really well in China, those movies.
Actually, worldwide box office,
Yeah, that's it. Has to be it.
Okay.
Because no one likes those movies.
No, they're not good. Jurassic World 1 is fine.
Yeah.
So we're going to the best movie of 2022. Pretty big deal. There's a lot writing on this.
Hot list this year, Connor.
It's a hot list. I have a few out-of-the-box ones, and then we can get to the main ones. So out-of-the-box ones, Banshees of Inisherin, obviously.
Excellent.
Glass Onion, which I don't think is going to win it.
No, but it's really good, but it's not the best.
Top Gun Maverick, which is better than it has any right to be.
True, and it also made the most money.
Yeah, Black Panther: Wakanda Forever.
Pretty good. I don't think it's the best movie. It's the best Marvel movie that came out this year.
Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio.
It's quite good and charming, that's true.
Elvis with Austin Butler. Yeah. Very good movie, although Tom Hanks is terrible in it.
Yeah, so I think if they made Tom Hanks bad, it doesn't deserve the best movie.
Well, I have three random ones that I just put in here just because I seen them this year. Fresh.
It's fresh.
With Sebastian Stan. And
I remember seeing this.
The lady from Normal People. Daisy something.
Daisy John? No, it's Dakota Johnson. Nah, yeah, go ahead.
Daisy. she's... Sebastian Stan is very good as an evil person. Also, it's a completely batshit plot. It's completely insane. The Adam Project, which is kind of like a Star Wars, Ryan Reynolds kind of plot movie.
Solid enough.
Hustle with Adam Sandler, I only watched this week.
Right, is it good?
It's pretty good.
Okay, it's the best movie of the year.
No!
Okay, we'll get off the list.
Get out of the list, Adam. I just thought Adam was nice. Let's throw it in. We get to the big three now at the minute. Do you have anything that I haven't touched on that you'd like to, other than the two obvious ones?
Yeah, I mean, just to, I suppose in terms of just like spreading the word, Nope is quite good.
Very good.
There is On Colleen Kuhn. That's an Irish language film. That's actually really, really good. It's up for... things nominated for Best International in the Oscars. There is My Father's Dragon. That's made by an Irish animation studio. These are just films that people should watch, I would say.
Although, Nope, Jordan Peele, he's pretty good at movies, apparently.
I would say he's quite good at movies.
I would say he's probably one of the best.
I would say he's really very good
ever
at making movies. Also, Bullet Train is pretty fun as well.
I heard Bullet Train was pretty good.
Yeah, but I think we know. I think I know what you picked, and I think it's the same as me for best movie.
So here's the thing, right? Are we doing best movie or are we doing our favourite movie? I have a different answer for both. Sean.
This is the thing. And I think it's also because my favourite movie, I think, is The Batman. But I think the best movie is Everything Everywhere All at Once.
God damn, are we the same person?
I think we're the same person, but...
Because I think The Batman is my favourite movie of the year. Just think... I mean, I cried twice at it.
That's enough
just because
of a reason.
It just got comic books, or how I see the character reading comic books all my life. That I was that's it. They finally did it. And Everything Everywhere All at Once, technically, to be honest, is the greatest movie I've seen in the last like 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, it's so good. Like, and they are two films that gave me probably the strongest emotional reaction. Now, in different ways, but like, it was so nice seeing a really accurate, good Batman who gives a shit about people. And then it was also really nice seeing like, just people like, you know, mother and daughter coming to understand each other kind of a movie, but also through the guise of a multiversal epic, you know?
And like, I just think the Daniels are just incredibly talented as directors. It was made for $20 million, Sean, which, wow. I mean, is the fact that Moonfall, $146 million, Sean, Everything Everywhere All at Once, I'm pretty positive was made for $20 million.
Like, that's ridiculous for the stuff that they pull off in that movie.
Like, it's, and it's made from this tiny little company, A24. Well, not tiny, but you know what I mean. It's not Marvel.
They are generally lower budget.
It's not Disney and it's not Warner Brothers.
Yeah, and it's a unique new idea.
And it's a unique new idea. And it shouldn't be that good. But it's genuinely, like, Michelle Yeoh in it is... She's fucking unreal. Just like so good. She should win the Oscar for Best Actress.
And genuinely, I think she might, you know. And I think
hope she does.
She fucking deserves it, man. She carries, not even that she carries that movie on her own, but she is outstanding in a whole cast of outstanding performers in that movie.
And like, if every time someone asks me, oh, recommend a movie, like that's happened a few times this year where people are like, oh, you do a movie show, like recommend a movie that I haven't seen. I'm like, Everything Everywhere All at Once, it's on Amazon, go watch it. And they're like, what's it about? And I'm always like, it's really hard to explain what it's about. But imagine Doctor Strange Multiverse, but like on steroids and in like the greatest way possible.
Yeah, but also in a really touching, nice, heartfelt story that feels real and is written super, super realistically.
It shouldn't be that good. It was just genuinely one of the most... I walked out of the movie because I walked in and everyone was like, that's the best movie of the year. So far. And I like, obviously reading that, you always walk in, not with a chip on your shoulder, but you're like, it can't be that good. What? And I remember walking out going, holy fuck, that was pretty fucking great.
Yeah. I walked out of that movie and I felt like I had just walked out of like Dune for the first time.
Like, and that was last year. That was pretty great as well.
Yeah, and like in terms of like what it meant to me and everything like that, it was just such a fun, like not even fun, but it was just such a good experience in the cinema. So to sum it up, Jackass Forever wins.
Jackass Forever is the best movie of the year. That's well said. I'm going to, if we're doing favourite, I'm going to go with The Batman. I don't know if I've talked enough about The Batman. Just give me a minute, Sean. He starts off, he's vengeance. He's all angry. You know what I mean?
Hell yeah, he is.
Not hell yeah, right? But then, later on, the best bit of the movie is when the Riddler guy is like, I'm vengeance. And it's just... the scene with him carrying the little girl out and she won't let go of him and he's just helping. That's fucking Batman, man.
He's a symbol
that is Batman.
Of hope.
Yeah.
Like, the bit where they're in the water and he's leading them out with the flare. Like, it's the most Batman thing.
Matt Reeves is a fucking genius.
Yeah, like, give that man all the money, please.
And I mean, I see the comic book this week. It was on Twitter. Someone put up the panel of like the Justice League going to this woman's house, and her husband has died.
Yeah,
and they're all in the house, and Batman immediately goes and starts playing with her daughter, like this guy's daughter who's died. And obviously the daughter doesn't know, she's like four. And the scene is like Batman just crouching beside her while she plays with her toy. He's distracting her while Superman talks to the mother. And I was just like, that's fucking Batman, man. He's a kid who lost his parents, so he's always going to look out for them.
Yeah, he knows what it's like. And even like he sees that the kid in the movie, and he sees him a couple of times. And it's like, with just a look, he carries that like, no, I know what this is like and this is shit. Yeah. That's why he does it.
And I do think, like, a lot of people don't like it because they're like, oh, it's way too serious, or it's angsty, or like, and there are moments where I'm not going to lie, like the bit when he's like, you're not my real dad to Alfred, that is ridiculous.
Yeah. But
I also think the character is flawed to begin with, and that's why the movie works, is because he starts off as a bad person and he has to get to the right area where
he has
meant
to get
to
over
be.
It, like, and it's it's done better than I think in Batman Begins, where he's just kind of perfect from the start, except for he tries to kill that guy that one time. But it's like closer to how it's done in the animated series, his first night out, where he's like he's nearly killed immediately.
Yeah.
You feel like this could happen to this dude.
I don't want to say to people, oh, you just don't get it. But like, I mean, isn't that the plot of every movie? A character starts off, there's loads of movies where the character starts off not a very nice person.
Yeah.
And then you don't go, oh, 20 minutes in, remember when he said that bad thing? I don't like that. That's fucking ridiculous.
Tony Stark is an arms dealer at the start of Iron Man.
And you don't hold that against him for the character he becomes at the end.
And you know the way Tony Stark makes a homicidal robot? And you know the way Tony Stark...
And like, the bit I went in the hospital when he's like, Alfred, I'm not afraid to die, but I just didn't want to have that feeling of like somebody else dying.
Yeah.
And it was only when you got blown up that I realised that like, I don't care if I die, but I care if you die, because your family. He doesn't have to say it, but he's like, I love you, like, you're my dad basically.
Yeah, you raised me, like.
Yeah.
There was also a bit, you know, the bit in the subway at the start where he's like, he kicks the shit out of all the guys, but he's like, the guy says, who are you? And then Batman just kicks the shit out of him, and then he says, I am vengeance. Pattinson apparently requested that to be, is the reason that it is how it is in the cut, because the script said he was going to say, I am vengeance, and then start kicking the shit out of the guys.
Right.
But instead he just goes full aggression straight away and then deals with the threat.
And I mean, there's a lot of great Batman scenes, but there's no scene, other than the end bit with the flare and him carrying all the people out, the bit that I was like immediately in was just the very start. It was literally just a bat signal in the sky and people being scared. It's such a small, insignificant thing in every other movie that everybody else would just overlook. But it's just having the signal in the sky sends people scared. They're like, oh fuck, he's out tonight.
Yeah, Batman is working tonight. It's dangerous.
Like, he's a killer. Like, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre style, like, he's around. If it's up in the sky, it could be me next.
Yeah, and that's enough to stop crime, which is good, but it's like not how you want to do things. Like, you want to inspire the people, not just make people afraid of you.
Exactly. Oh man, just that movie, I was like, it just make another 40s. It was like reading one of my childhood comic books come to life, and I was like, I'm all in. Good stuff.
Yeah, so I think that's the favorite. I think Everything Everywhere is the best.
Yeah, and the fact that your favourite is also the Batman is so funny, because, like, you're a Marvel boy.
I'm a Marvel boy. I'm a Marvel shill, as we all know.
You're a Marvel shill, and so...
Most of the Marvel stuff's been pretty shit this year.
And DC, I mean, it's not great, but we got the Batman.
You got the Batman. You got, you know, that thing that's not connected to any other film. That's really good.
Pretty good. And I thought we'd finish, Sean, with our most anticipated movie of 2023.
I mean, there's a lot.
I've got a lot here written down. So we've got Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantumania is coming up in February.
Yeah.
Also February, Cocaine Bear is coming out to February 24th.
Could be the moonfall of 2023.
But a good moonfall.
Sorry, do you continue on with the list?
I was going to say Creed 3 with Jonathan Majors looking like a house.
Yeah.
Is coming out
like
in
a brick fucking shit house.
The only time I'm fearing for Michael B. Jordan, like Michael B. Jordan is always the big guy and Jonathan Majors is now even bigger.
He's too large is the problem.
He's too small.
There's also Oppenheimer coming out. That looks insane.
That is, yeah. The cast for that alone is ludicrous. I know a movie you're excited about, Sean.
Hell
Shazam,
yeah.
Fury of the Gods.
Couldn't give a shit.
Especially now.
Apparently Zachary Levi was tweeting and he was just, someone was like, oh, it's a shame that Zachary Levi is not Shazam anymore. And Levi just tweeted and just like, never say never, winky face.
So I think he might be still in.
Maybe. I mean, The Flash is still happening.
That is true. The Flash is coming out this year on June 23rd.
Kind of related. As a fan of DC Comics.
Yeah.
And given all that's happened with DC movies.
Oh,
recently,
is Ezra the worst zero of the year?
Maybe.
As a man, he's the worst man of the year. Not as a man, as the worst person of the year.
Yeah.
Jared's the zero. He's the original zero. It's the Jared Leto award.
No matter how much Jared tries, he will always be the zero in our eyes.
Yeah.
My question, as a fan of DC films in general, Connor, and given that they will cancel a film at the drop of the hat.
Yeah.
How nervous are you about Blue Beetle coming out?
Oh, that's coming out this year. I think it'll make it. I think it'll come out. Yeah.
Right, okay.
I think James Gunn will release it.
He'll let that one happen.
I think they'll... I don't have my hopes high for Jamie Reyes's character, but it'll happen. And I hope it's good. I really do. I hope it's good. Because I think that character's really fun. And I think they could do a lot with him. But also, I don't want to get my hopes up because it was also greenlit and filmed during a very difficult time for everyone.
Much like Batgirl. And look, I mean...
Dungeons and Dragons is coming out in March of this year.
Pretty good. We're getting Dune 2 at some point.
Dune 2 is November of this year.
Long time to wait.
Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 is in May.
That's a pretty hype one. That's pretty hype.
Fast X... is it also in May? I know you're excited about that.
I really couldn't care. Couldn't
Transformers
give a shit.
Rise of the Beasts, June 9th.
Looks ridiculous.
Indiana Jones, The Dial of Destiny, June 30th.
Terrible. Awful concept.
Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning Part 1, July 14th. Did you see the stunt of Tom Cruise driving that motorbike off the mountain?
You better believe I did.
I think I showed it to you, didn't I?
Yeah. I think you did.
I showed it to you on my phone. I was like, did you see this?
It's like, yeah. He's gonna do it this time. He's finally going to kill himself.
Barbie is coming out July 21st.
Honestly, one of my top anticipated movies.
Don't know what's going to happen. Could be good, could be bad. We don't know. The Marvels, July 28th.
Yeah, pretty good.
I know a movie you're excited for, Sean. Craven the Hunter.
Yeah,
coming
boys.
Out October 6th.
Look, I just want that movie to be over. So that
it's called Craven the Hunter dot Sony Do It Again.
Maybe Sony Studios are the biggest zero of the year.
Maybe. Craven the Hunter, what a great idea. Let's make the guy who hunts people a hero. Bit of an anti-villain if you ask. Yeah. Wonka is coming out in December.
Wow.
Next year.
With the Timothy Chalamet.
The Timothy Chalamet. Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom is also coming out.
Surely that's not still happening,
true.
Is it?
It's down for December 25th, 2023. Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom.
Did we skip over Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse?
I was leaving it until the end, Sean. I was doing a presenter.
You need to fill me in on these things if you want engagement.
You got to wing me. You just got to trust me that I got you, right? I'll catch you, right?
Okay.
Don't worry about it. Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom, Sean, a movie we're all very excited for, will definitely come out. Jason Momoa loves playing the character and is definitely not leaving to play a Lobo. Yeah. And lastly... Sean, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse.
My most anticipated film. Who could have called it?
Second.
I mean, like, it's just going to be great, isn't it? Like, it looks so good. It has an unreal cast.
Pretty strong, to be fair. I mean, you got Guardians of the Galaxy May 5th, and then less than a month later, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse.
Yeah, it's a pretty packed summer. Like,
yeah.
Hopefully they don't all compete too much for seats, for tickets.
They're probably my two most anticipated movies in terms of Spider-Man and Guardians of the Galaxy. I'm going to say a bit risque. I couldn't give a fuck about Ant-Man and the Wasp. Okay, I said it.
Connor, what are we doing here?
I said it.
I kind of get where you're coming from because Okay, look, start of the year. Yeah. Like, let's hope I'm proved wrong. I'm really going off the MCU a bit. I'll be honest. Just make good movies.
But Cocaine Bear's coming out.
Cocaine
Bear's after.
Like, maybe just make a good movie, you know? Yeah, at least I'm disappointed by Ant-Man. And look, I'm excited to see Kang and all that and see all the shenanigans that happen.
Yeah.
But maybe Cocaine Bear will weirdly be a palate cleanser for me.
I hope Guardians is good. Dungeons and Dragons, I think, might be a fun romp.
Yeah, I'm up for a romp. I'm always up for a romp.
I'm up for a romp.
Legally Blonde 3 we're getting next year, Connor.
That's true. That's pretty good.
Hope you're aware of that.
Indiana Jones, not quite sure.
Don't
Oppenheimer could be the best movie of the year, but also could be Christopher Nolan sucking his own dick. We don't know. It's Chrissy Nolan.
Let's hear what the sound mixing is like. Or rather, not here, because the man can't mix audio to save his fucking life.
I love the fact that he's so talented and we're just like shitting on him. He's got more talent in his baby finger than me and you will have for our whole lives. We're like, you can't mix sound, dog, can you, Chris?
Yeah, you can recreate an atomic bomb, can you? But Jesus.
What's
fucking
that? Memento. Fuck off, man.
I'd like to hear dialogue and music, please.
How many Oscars do you have? Probably more than us, but still, right?
How many Oscars does Christopher Nolan have?
Two?
You coming down hard on two?
I'm coming down hard on two.
Christopher
Maybe he has none. Maybe he never actually won Best Director.
Is he one of those ones that just hasn't won Academy? Actually.
Oh, hang on. Go on.
List of awards and nominees. He has his own Wikipedia page for his awards.
Oh, good. That's good. It's a good sign.
2002, Best Screenplay for... No. Hang on now.
Oh,
there's another tab on this little Excel sheet. He's been nominated 5 times, never won.
He's a loser, so you're saying. You're saying that guy doesn't know how to make a movie.
Man knows nothing about film, otherwise he would have fucking won something.
What was he nominated for? Memento, The Dark Knight?
He was nominated for Memento was Best Original Screenplay. Statistically the easiest award to be nominated for. 2011.
Why did we take this stance?
I don't know. Inception was nominated for Best Picture and Best Original Screenplay. Dunkirk was nominated for Best Picture and he was nominated for Best Director in Dunkirk, and he didn't win, so canonically he's not the Best Director.
That's actually true. That's how you know.
Yeah.
That is how you know. It's bad that he didn't get one for Batman. Even The Dark Knight.
Yeah, you would have thought they would have had, or even The Dark Knight itself would have had, like, Score or something like that. I think Heath Ledger did win.
Ledger won one. But yeah, I think that's it for our award ceremony, other than shitting on Christopher Nolan. He's a very talented man, okay? We're just having a bit of a laugh.
But actually, not as good as Guillermo del Toro, who won in that year.
Coming down hard. His Pinocchio is better than The Dark Knight.
Actually, well...
Well, nah, come on now, Sean.
It's stop motion. It's like, it's an impressive feat, but like, I don't know, is it the best?
I'm looking forward to Dune Part 2. I hope it does really well.
I think it's Dune and Spider-Man for me I'm most excited for, Connor.
Me too. So Sean, that's it for this week's Movie Mondays. We'll be back to regular news next week. All of our awards recipients will be receiving their awards probably in the next few weeks. We'll send them out. We will send an apology tweet at some stage.
Man's not on Twitter.
He can't make sound on his tweets. Do you want to take us out, Sean?
Yes, thank you everyone for listening to this episode of Movie Mondays. We will be back on Wednesday with Weird News Wednesday, Friday with Hero or Zero, next Monday with another episode of Movie Mondays. Big thank you to everyone over on Patreon who supports the show. patreon.com/heroesforhirepodcast to support us over there. And shout outs go to the wonderful people that are our patrons: Roisin the Wife Palmer, Joe Burney, Ryan Technically Fine Evanson, All Waffles Wants for Christmas is for You to Listen to Their Podcast, Waffles and Mario Talk About Things, David Clark, Sean Chuck It in the Wash and It'll Be Grand Jameson, Dominic, Anna Irish Walrus Forever Helm Roos, Danny McLaughlin, No One's Ever Really Gone, Luke Hoth, Lord Smish, Michelle Brown, Michaela Doughty, Buster, Ed Ball, The Adventures of Indiana Jones and the Franchise That Just Won't Die. Connor and Lorraine are really quite embarrassed about all this nickname shithousery and hope Sean can find it in his heart to forgive them. Russ, I'll help you, Sean. It's R as in R, U as in you, S as in still, and S as in seething. Now say it with me, Russ Parfit and Jackson Bruheim. Thank you all, even those of you that take the piss, for the support on the Patreon. You help keep the show going. Thanks for sticking with us for the year. Really, really appreciate you. And head on over to Patreon if you want to get access to movie reviews and things like that that we do over there. And there is also a merch store link below, heroesforhire.ie/shop. Twitter is at heroesforhirepod, the 4 is a number 4. Facebook is the Tech Developments Discussion Group. Instagram is Heroes for Hire Podcast. And the best way to ever help out the show is to tell one human being that we exist.
Just a one, please.
And I think that's about it, Connor.
I think so. So I've been Connor Lawler.
I've been Sean Meehan.
We should see y'all next week, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.